outing, and we look forward to a wonderful time of fellowship, being able to bond together, and at the same time be educated with some of the very early churches in Singapore, and maybe that will give you a bit of a background as to how Christianity began in Singapore. Well, thank you, ladies, also for leading us in time of worship. Always appreciate how all of you are seeking to apply the Word of God in the context of your life, in faith, in the way in which you seek to serve the Lord. Okay, so today we're going to come to a summary. That's what I'm going to hope to do as we look back at this half year and beyond, how we want to be able to bring this to a conclusion before we take a break, and then we'll be back on 30th of June, right? Okay, that will probably be the beginning of the next half of the year. Okay? Yeah. That's before Qing Yang's wedding. So we encourage him first. No lah. And Yan Li also. We're always thinking of Qing Yang, but not Yan Li, so... Okay. Well, now, let's look at Philippians 3. Now, I'm not going to take very long, so I'm going to give you a bit more time later to go into your discussion groups and to reflect over these lessons that have been learned, and then you can continue next week when we have a bit more time to fellowship together. And one of the things that I chose to focus on this afternoon is this idea of joy. I know that we touched on this a couple of weeks back, but I thought that this is actually a good way to bring or to summarize everything as we look at going on to chapter 3. Well, just to be glad about it, we have finished chapter 2. And we are now moving on to chapter 3. And I like what Paul says here, finally. Finally, we have reached this point. My brethren, rejoice in the Lord. So significant, right? So I thought this was a good way to come to this point. And so I'm going to focus on this idea of rejoicing. And I think when we look at life, when we look at the challenges that we all have to face, it's so good to be able to rejoice and to continue to find this sense of joy. Okay? So let's look at verse 1, and it says here, finally. Now, let me try and explain this word. Actually, you know, he's not really coming to a conclusion because it's only halfway. So the word finally doesn't really mean finally, okay? It's really more like a marker, okay? It's really to come to certain conclusions, but it's not the end, right? So the word finally is really an expression to mark certain things, to state that, okay, you know, he has come to this point, and he tells the brethren, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Okay? Now, this word, rejoice, I've explained it before. It's about grace. So as much as we see the grace of God in our lives, there is so much for us to be able to rejoice in. Right? And it's of the grace of God that we seek to rejoice, right? Okay? And not only that, the word karete, the idea here is really, it is to command. So when Paul tells the brethren, rejoice, it's the use of the imperative. Well, it is really the idea of telling the people, to plead with the people, to almost command the people, rejoice. Okay? And they are to rejoice out of the grace of the Lord, and that's something that they should continue to do. And also, it's a question that we want to ask ourselves, do we really are able to rejoice? You know, this week, Chinky and I, we were at Goodwood Park. Okay, we were there to celebrate my mom's, Mother's Day dinner. And, I'll tell you a little bit more about that later. But after that, we decided, let's go and have a bit of durians, as in the cake, the crepe. So we went to buy, we were at a counter, there was somebody, so we waited 2-3 persons. And it was about to be our turn, then this lady came along. And this lady, a bit more elderly, and, you know, she said, is this the queue? There were actually two of us waiting, and with another person. And she said, I have cancer. You know, so she just told us that she has cancer. And then she said, I can't stand very long. Then I say, auntie, why don't you sit down and take a seat, you know, while waiting. And then she grudgingly, you know, sat down for a while. And so I looked at Chinky, she looked at me, I said, okay, maybe we let her go first, since we are next in line. So I thought, okay, let's do the nice thing and, you know, be nice to her. And so that's what we did. And, you know, it came to her turn. I said, you can go ahead. And she talked to this sales girl. And this sales girl is from Korea. And she was trying to explain to her, do you have something that I can eat straight away? I'm very, very hungry. And the poor girl was trying to explain to this lady that, you know, we can sell you the crepe, but it's going to take an hour before it defrosts because it's frozen. And she said, no, I don't want. Can you have something that I can eat straight away? And then she turns to me and says, I cannot talk to this lady, you know. And I look at her, you know, I say, okay, let me talk to her. And then she said, you want something very quickly because, you know, there's a restaurant there. And so quickly, the lady, the Korean lady, she went to order two of the crepes that would be served to her immediately. And, you know, so she said, auntie, why don't you just sit down? They're going to serve you the two crepes. And then she finally calmed down and sat down. And, we feel sorry for her. She has cancer. But yet at the same time, you know, it's just, a kind of spirit that maybe is not the best. And, you know, there's no joy. And we were there, and despite all the things that was going on, and we finally did get to buy the durian crepes, and, you know, but yet, you know, we choose joy instead. It's not easy, I recognize that. And sometimes you have to deal with different people. You have to face different situations in life. Sure. But can we not learn to choose joy? After all, it's not the grace of God, something that has been given so abundantly into our lives. Can we not seek to rejoice in the Lord? So that's something that, you know, we have to learn, right? In whatever circumstances that we find ourselves. And he says here, my brethren. Paul tells his brethren, you know, you are brethren, you are my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. As brethren, we can rejoice. I mean, I don't know this person, this lady, but yet at the same time, she's just so grouchy, and, you know, I can understand the difficulties of having cancer, but, you know, it's just very, very challenging. And if we are not in the grace of the Lord, if we are not brethren, if we are not in the Lord, it's very hard to find this sense of joy. And Paul was able to find this joy, and he challenges the brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Now, how do we understand this idea of in the Lord? Right? Now, this word in the Lord is what we call the use of the dative. Okay? And what I call what is stated as the dative of spear, right? And it's the idea of being in the sphere or being in the realm of. So what we're looking here is that Paul is telling the brethren, rejoice in the realm of the Lord or in the sphere of the Lord, right? So you are really seeking to immerse yourself in the Lord, okay? And it's something that we need to be aware of and conscious of, because if we are not in the Lord, it's very hard to find this joy. So it says here, rejoice in the Lord, in the sphere of the Lord. Now, I'm going to take this idea of being in the realm of the Lord, and I'm just going to review Philippians 1 and 2. So it's just going beyond just looking at those verses where joy is mentioned, because there are just so many aspects. I've listed 20 aspects of what it means for us to be in the Lord. And when we are in the Lord, we can find this joy. So Paul says, rejoice in the Lord. And are we in the Lord in terms of our understanding, in terms of our appreciation for, in terms of our faith, okay, being applied in the context of life and ministry, okay? And very interesting, because it says here that, right, it is en kurios, okay? And the idea here is, okay, en kurios, right, in the Lord. Now, there is no article here. Okay? Now, of course, if the original is kuriu, okay, which is your dative. Now, there is no article here. Why? Well, it is translated as in the Lord. Paul chose not to put an article in front of the Lord. Doesn't mean that it's not definite, but he is choosing not to put an article because the focus is not on the concept of the Lord. If there is an article there, it is usually with reference to the concept of the Lord or something specific about the Lord. Or maybe he has stated something that he wants to make reference to, you know, with the use of the article. But without the article, it is something that is far more with reference to the essence of the Lord. Okay? That means he's really not looking at something that is specific. It's a little bit more general as to what the Lord is. Okay? So that's why I chose to review, as you look back at chapter 1 and chapter 2, and you look at many aspects about what it means for us to be in the Lord and to find that very special sense of joy in. Okay, so let's look at chapter 1 and starting with verse 1. I'm just going to go through it very quickly, and maybe there's certain aspects that you personally find a little bit more joy, a little bit more that you can appreciate. Okay, so for instance, it says in chapter 1, okay, that they, Paul and Timothy, bond servants of Jesus Christ. And that's something that is very important to me, that I see myself also as a bond servant of Jesus Christ. Right? It is of Jesus Christ. So who you are, how you see yourself, is of the Lord Jesus Christ. And because we belong to Christ, there is the idea of possession here. there is a very special sense of privilege of being a bond servant, a doulos, and that brings a very special sense of joy to me. Can you see what I'm trying to say? That different aspects of what it means to be of the Lord Jesus or in the Lord Jesus becomes something that you can find very special sense of joy in. So I rejoice in that. In fact, this week when we were buying lunch, I brought, usually nowadays when we buy lunch, the three of them, Kukum, Rangai, and Simon will follow us. And we were, whoever is buying lunch, we always go to the same place. So I always go to Serangoon Central, and I'll go there at the S11, and I'll buy lunch from there. And after a while, the people there will notice, first of all, they know that I'm a pastor, and I will go there, and sometimes I'll talk to them. There's this lady who sells carrot cake. And, you know, the other day she was walking with a walking stick, and I asked her what happened. Then she said she had an operation, and I spoke to her, and she said, oh, I'm recovering, you know, thank you for your concern. And we began to talk, and she said, oh, you're from the church. I say, yes. Say, those three, they always see them coming, you know. That means Ranga and Kukum, and after all, they are not local. So, they notice, and they say, well, what are they doing here? They're also being trained. Say, yes. Say, they are also being trained as pastors. Then she says, oh, you know, are you all training to become brothers? Brothers. As in Roman Catholic brothers, yes. So are you all becoming brothers or priests or pastors? Say, yeah, we're actually pastors, okay. But we're also brothers, you know. As in the general way. But, people notice. And, you know, it was such a joy just to share this with them that we are pastors. You know, every store that I go to, they all ask, how am I? You know, haven't seen you for a while. How's the church? You know, and so the bee hoon seller, he will ask me. The guy there, the lady who sells the chocolate, the carrot cake, will also ask. And so they know us because we've been there like many years, and they all know that the fruit seller also, she will ask about us. You know, how's the church? She say every time I pass by your church, I see the church coming up. You know, the A&A and things like that. Wow. So they all know us. And but it's a joy. It's a joy to be a servant of the Lord. And that's how we carry it ourselves. Right? So joy in being a born servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are saints in Christ Jesus. That's what we are. That grace and peace comes from God and also the Lord Jesus Christ. So there are just many, many aspects that I've highlighted here, that we have the grace, gift of grace, that we have the fellowship. Look at verse 5, right? The fellowship in the gospel, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. And this was something that Pastor just shared, actually, with the Pines 2 just now. And he was just sharing that it's important to understand this idea of fellowship, what it means for us to have fellowship, that we would be able to fellowship with each other and understand what that means. And the whole idea here is that, first of all, you have something that is common, okay? So we have common understanding. That's what fellowship is. There's something common about us, right? The common faith. Right, so it begins with something that is common, and from that which is common, it becomes special. So as we fellowship, it's not just about because we are brothers and sisters, but we go beyond that to find a very special fellowship together. So that's what we are seeking to do as we meet together next on the 2nd of June, right? So we will have, because we are, there's certain things that's common about us, right? From there, we go beyond just being common, but rather to see that fellowship and relationship that is special, Okay? And from being special, we find a very unique bond with each other. And I thought that was an interesting perspective as you look at this word, fellowship. And that's what we seek to do in a fellowship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? So that's something that we want to do. So learn what it means to fellowship. Learn what it means to fellowship as part of the church. Fellowship that is in the context of the Lord. Okay? So that's something for us to look forward. So join looking ahead to the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 6, verse 8. You know, experiencing the affections of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 11, joy in developing fruits of righteousness as you seek to grow. You know, as you look back this 5 months or so, has there been fruits? Has there been growth? Right? And something that we can rejoice in. 18, about the preaching of Christ, of the gospel of Christ. Okay, verse 20, magnifying Christ. You know, there's so much for us to rejoice in. Okay, verse 21, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Verse 27, walking worthy of the gospel of Christ. 29, suffering. Okay, and you know, there's something for us to really appreciate. Okay, that's chapter 1, and then we come to chapter 2, which we are able to just finish, but we talked about the mindset of Christ, we talked about consolation in Christ, and then standing in awe as the Lord Jesus is exalted. You know, there's something that is really special. Okay? And then we talk about you know, how we want to be able to serve the Lord. You know, when we are in Christ, the way we see things, the way we do things, the way we serve is different. You know, so anyway, we are going to have a funeral, if you're not aware of this person that we've been trying to minister to, and her name is Siu Lin, and she passed on Thursday night, actually Friday early morning. And the call came to us about 1 plus, and Pastor Mitch called me, and after we decided to actually to go down. Now, you know, it's 1:30 a.m. and most people are sleeping. But when we asked to go down and help, well, we responded. And we were there. Now, the family, of course, so basically, the daughter's name is Xiao Hui, and she is the only child. So both her parents actually passed on, so she's only one left. Of course, there's the extended family members, and some of them have come from Johor, I mean, Malaysia, and also some from China. And okay, to show support, but basically, she is alone. So as a church, we have sought to support her and rally around her. And, you know, so for us, that's the most natural thing to do, that we are called upon, that we will seek to go down, and with joy, we continue to minister, even though it's middle of the night. Right? That's our focus as we talk about learning to be in the Lord. So when we are in the Lord, it's not about ourselves. You know, you can complain, wow, so early in the morning, it's one something. And you can complain, you can raise all kinds of concerns. But you know what? We just went down. And with a great sense of joy, we are there to support her. And there was nobody else. Basically, there were some church people, and then Pastor Vinch and myself, and she was there alone, and nobody else was there. So as a church, we seek to support, and we are there to comfort her. The next morning, when Pastor came back, well, he came back from India. 8:30, we met with Xiao Hui again, and made all the necessary arrangements. Well, that's how we seek to minister. And it's being in the Lord, in the realm of the Lord, that we seek to do that. That if we learn to empty ourselves as Christ sought to empty, as Christ sought to empty himself and to minister accordingly. Well, that's how we want to minister. Okay? So having that mindset of Christ and then having that joy and salvation of the Lord, verse 16, holding forth, holding on to the word of God. And as we have dealt in the last 2 weeks, there was the example of Timothy and Epaphroditus, and just learning what it means to be able to serve the Lord, and of course, joy in being brethren. So, you know, it's good to be able to reflect back and to see what is it that really has brought joy to you. So later on in your discussion group, take time to think this through. What does it mean to be in the Lord? And not just being in the Lord, that there's that understanding of being in the realm of the Lord. Okay? Now, all these different aspects, right? First of all, it is being in the realm of the Lord. Okay? In the Lord. Now, how do you know that you're truly in the realm of the Lord? Is that when these different aspects become real to you. Right? I can say that I'm a born servant of Jesus Christ, and it's real to me. It is something that I find, you know, real joy in. And that's how I would appreciate it, that it will lead you to a greater sense of rejoicing. This brings joy to you. If not, it's just knowledge. If not, it's just understanding. But if something that if you are in the realm of the Lord and it's real to you, right, there comes that rejoicing. If this is not real to you, then you find it's very hard to find joy in that aspect. You follow what I'm trying to say? So it's one of the key verses that I've come to appreciate is this whole idea of for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. And I find so much comfort and encouragement in this. Right? Especially when you look at life and you see all that is happening. And life is so short. Can we not find a greater perspective for our lives and ministry? Okay? Now, I'm just going to end with this consideration. If you were to look at chapter 1, what would be the key verse? I don't know whether I've shared this with you. But chapter 1, what would be your key verse? So let's reduce it further. What would be your key verse for chapter 1? Is it God's work in our lives that he has completed? Is it love, that love will abound? Is it the preaching of Christ or the gospel? Okay, what would be your key verse? Anybody wants to try? What would be your key verse? To bring it in terms of essence to one verse. Anybody? Mitchell, want to try? Any verse? You can pick any verse. From verse 1 all the way to... Huh? Verse 30. 21? Okay, how many will you choose 21? Okay. The rest of you? Anybody? Okay, any other verses? The rest all? Don't have any. Hello? Anybody else? Any other verse? No? Everybody, 21? Okay. Well, I will choose 21. Why? Because, partly also because it's a statement. That, you know, Paul makes all these declarations along the way, and it really fits everything in. For me to live is Christ. Now, of course, when we dealt with this verse, I explained this verse, but I just like to highlight something, right? It says here, for to me to live, and I was explaining that this word to live is a infinitive, and the focus on the idea of the verbal and, right, and the noun idea. But you notice that it says here, to live is Christ. Is in italics. What does it mean then? That means the word is not there. So it's actually to live Christ, right? I think I stated that before. So it's to live, and then there's Christ. So what does it mean? There is no article at all. There is no article, and it's written in what we call the nominative. Right? What is the nominative? It states what? The subject, right? So this is the subject. So when you have a subject that is without an article, then there is no verb. Right? Usually a subject, it tells you the relationship with the verb, right? He throws the ball, right? So there is a relationship with the verb, but there is no verb. So what? What is Paul trying to say here about Christ? That means no article, right? No verb. For me to live, Christ. What is he trying to say here? Right? There is no limitation. There is no verb to limit it. There is no article to limit it. So what he's trying to say here is that he is talking about fullness. There is the fullness of Christ that he is making reference to. That he is talking about for me to live. And his focus is all the fullness of Christ. That is his understanding, his perspective as he talks about living. Can you see this? There is no verb, there is no article to limit in any way. When you have an article, you have a verb, he is trying to bring across a certain aspect or idea or concept concerning Christ. But without all those things, there is no limitation. And all he's talking about, that we can describe, what Paul is trying to say here is the word fullness. The fullness of Christ is focused upon here. And if we learn what it means to rejoice in the Lord, part of it is really about the fullness of Christ. I listed 20 things, and there are more. And there's so much for us to rejoice in. Right? And to me, that is something that we want to be able to appreciate. Right? Chapter 2, what is the key verse? Actually, chapter 2 is probably easier. Which verse? Anybody? Verse 5, right? Verse 5. I'll go with verse 5 because it says here, it really has to do with the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So another perspective that we want to be able to have, to be in Christ Jesus, to have the mind, right? This mind, which was also in Christ Jesus, to be in you. So chapter 1, key verse, really about what it means to live. For me to live is Christ. And then Philippians 2 is about the mindset of Christ. Okay? So let me just apply this idea of rejoicing and then we can go into our groups to discuss a little bit more. What does it mean really to find that special sense of joy? Okay? First of all, Paul says it is a command. Rejoice! Okay? So later on, rejoice. Find a greater sense of joy. Rejoice. Okay? It is a command. Secondly, not only is it a command, it is a choice. Okay? We want to be able to choose. Choose joy, not to be grouchy, not to be, you know, complaining. Choose joy instead. Right? Thirdly, there is a context when you talk about joy. For us today, it is really Philippians 1 and 2. There is a certain context in which we want to find a very special sense of joy. Fourthly, there must be that consciousness. Consciousness. If not, we can all end up, you know, focusing more on the things that we are caught up with. But you want to be able to have that consciousness, right? And then to continue. No matter what kind of circumstances we find ourselves in, we can find that special sense of joy. And I hope that you will find that joy, no matter what. Right? As we grow older, you know, time passes really fast. Seriously. Right? And we want to be able to look at joy no matter what. Siu Lin, she's only 60 years old. Right? And for her, just like that, life is gone. And I ask myself, if I have 10 more years of life on this earth, you know, how would I live it? You know, I really want to find joy. You know, as you grow older, things don't work as well. You know, I look at the toilet sink and I see, wow, I can count the number of hairs that are dropping. And then I have this very sinking feeling. And then this week, I had to go to, you know, Leeway to get my teeth checked because I have some teething problems, and, you know, so I have to get it checked. So as you grow older, things don't work as well. But can we still find joy? Sure, right? Eyesight also not too good. Sometimes my wife asks me, hey, can you read this? And I'll tell her, I have no idea. You know, and you know, see, joy, learn to find joy. You don't get it. No idea. Okay, never mind. You can figure out later. Okay. And, you know, just learning what it means to find that very special sense of joy. Okay? All right, let's pray before you go to your... Our gracious Heavenly Father, we just want to pray and thank you that we can find joy in the Lord. Recognize that the circumstances of life can snuff out that joy in us, can take away that joy. We pray, Lord, that you would teach us to continue to learn what it means to be in the Lord, to be in the realm of the Lord, and to find many, many wonderful aspects and reasons for us to find this joy that we can truly, in the context of life, we can find this joy and continue to have this joy. We pray, Lord, that you will help us to encourage each other even as we go into our groups and pray for your blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, let's go into our groups and